Well, happy Sunday, everybody. Glad that you're here. I want to welcome those who are at Princeton, our Princeton campus, those who are at Vincennes, joining us online, even those that are in our fireside venue here just down the hallway at our Washington campus. Welcome, everyone. If this is your first time with us, my name is Matt, and we recognize how hard it is sometimes to walk in to a new place. Maybe you've dropped off kids today in children's ministry. Just be at ease today. We love you. We have great people that love your kids and are ready to accept them and teach them. And I just hope today, over the next course of time that we have, about 45 minutes together, that God's gonna say something to you. I know that he's already spoke to me as we look at how to be better parents today. We're in the series called Functional Families. I'm tired of all the ways in which families are labeled in a negative way, like, you know, dysfunctional families. And I recognize there's drama, there's trouble, there's crisis in every family, but it's a matter about how we handle that drama, that crisis, and that trouble. And I know that God has equipped us because his word has shown us that we don't have to continue with the drama. We don't have to continue with the dysfunction or the trouble or the sorrow that maybe generations have brought into our households. We can start something new. We can do that under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we can just choose today to be men and women that say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How about that, church? That we just arise to this new challenge to be functional families rather than to be labeled dysfunctional families. Now, that's not to mean you're going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect parents. You're not going to be the perfect family. As much as your Instagram and Facebook kind of shows that you are, we all know that we're not. So let's just talk about parenting today. And there is no greater person in a kid's life than a parent that can direct them and redirect them and set the course for any child. And parents, children of any age are a lot of work, of any age. And the challenge, I think, is to raise your kids without losing your mind. At least that's been my goal anyway. Like maybe you got one of these kind of kids. I got a six-year-old in the house and he is like near impossible to wake up for school at 7 a.m. And so you'll shake him and be like, Jackson, you got to get up, buddy. Come on, we're going to go to school. And he just like a sleepy bear, you know, hibernating. And he just won't get out. But like 5 a.m. Saturday, he's like, Mom, Dad, where's my flute? We're going to make a party here today. Where's my flute? Give me my flute. We're going to wake everybody up. And you're like, why can't you do that on the weekdays? Why do you need to do that on the weekend? I remember when we had our first kid and we are being escorted out of the hospital. Why escorted out of the hospital? Because we're like, can we just get one more night, please? Just one more night, please? And so the nurses who we absolutely love and knew us were like, hey, it's time to go. And so Kelly's in the wheelchair being escorted out, and she's got William, and they're loading us up into the car, making sure everything's in place, and everything was in place. I mean, car seat was perfect, immaculate, before anybody threw up on it and cookies fell all in it and everything else. And he had his little outfit on. We got him buckled all in and everything was perfect. Got Kelly put in there and situated. And you know, we had like a quarter of a mile drive back home. And I remember looking at my wife and being like, we have no clue what we're doing right now. Like, who is going to help us from this moment on, you know? I wish there was, like, some parenting booklets out there that would help you. And you're like, well, there are, Matt. You just need to read them. Yeah. But not for my kid. They're not. Like, you know, like, you ever feel like, hey, that's good information, good stuff from that counseling. I'm glad you got a program. But what about my kid? Like, my kid has a whole set of circumstances that are surrounded. My kid is a little bit different. My kid, and I just wish there was some parenting tips out there. I wish day one someone would have told me, hey, listen, as a parent, make sure you pick up all the Legos off of the floor because there's going to be a night when it's a dark room and you're going to step on every single one of them. So just pick them up. Or if you have a five-year-old, like, you know, if they're going to puke, whatever you do, don't call their bluff. If she says she has to puke, just trust that she's got a puke. Don't be like, ah, she's not that sick. No, she's that sick. I wish just somebody would kind of like tell you that, or there was something ingrained within us. I know that any parent today that's like hearing these words is like, yeah, I remember those life lessons. I remember having to go through them. And I know that right now you might have teenagers or you might have youngsters and you might be thinking, oh, the days are so long. But I think any adult parent of kids who have adult children would say that the days are long, but the years are short. And cherish every moment. Like the thing I hear always from parents who have adult kids who are out of the house is cherish each and every moment that you have with your kids. And I've taken that one to heart. That is a life lesson that I've taken to heart, recognizing the days are long, but the years are short. And we've got a kid that's going to be a senior in high school. Some of you are releasing this weekend and next weekend with some graduates. And man, parents, regardless of your children's age, in regards of how the world says we can counsel them, the Bible gives us so much good information on how we can raise our kids. And it's not about what our kids should do. It's It's about what we should do. And so I want to look at one very familiar passage of Scripture, Psalm 127. And this is the psalm that talks about releasing your kids and having a quiver full of arrows and the illustration that your children are like arrows and we're to shoot them in a direction that they should go. And I'm like, that would be a really good scripture to leapfrog off of and preach on parenting. And then the deeper I got into Psalm 127, I recognized that, man, I did not understand really what Solomon, whom I believe wrote this. Now, some believe David wrote it for Solomon, but I think this is Solomon who wrote this psalm, what wisdom he was saying as he structures this song, this psalm in Psalm 127. Page 501, let's just read the whole thing. It's only five verses, and here's how it starts. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder's labor is in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stands watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. So the Solomon just kind of starts off the psalm by just simply saying, hey, listen, let me tell you about who God is. Number one, God is the definitive builder of the house. Oh, you can build a home. You can try all the methods you want. But if God's not involved in that building, then your house is going to be built in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builder's house has been built in vain. You're going to hear that statement three times. He says, in vain, in vain, in vain. That statement just means that you can work, you can work, you can work, you can work. And you can work your way so that you won't worry. But ultimately, as much as you work, you're still going to worry. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you try to lay ahead. It doesn't matter how you try to position your kids. You can try all these things, but if it doesn't include God, it's going to leave you empty. It's going to find itself to a place of meaninglessness. I was in the auto shop, getting my car worked on, coming in to pick it up, going to pay my bill. From the back of the shop, all I hear is like, wrenches dropping, sockets dropping, and a bunch of cussing, and a very frustrated mechanic just kind of like groaning out from the back of the shop. And I look up with like kind of wide eyes, like, what is happening back there? Like, who is losing their life back there? And the guy at the register says, listen, that guy's been working on the front end of this car all morning long, only to find out he has to take it all apart because he forgot some parts. Like, you want to talk about something in vain? Like, I did all this work only to find out I created more work for myself because I didn't get it right the first time. You ever put together a jigsaw puzzle, thought that would be fun to do? And so you have thousands of pieces that you've put together, and then wouldn't you know it, there's always one or two pieces that you can't find. And you're like left feeling that emptiness, that inconclusiveness, like, this could have gone out better than the way we thought it was going to go. Like, I thought I was going to have every piece there and it was all going to turn into this perfect little picture, but that's just not the way it's rolling. And Solomon says that this is the way that your life will feel when you don't build your house, including God in the building as the master builder. And Solomon says, unless you bring God into the building of your home, you'll build your way, but ultimately your way will be the wrong way and you'll be filled with this feeling of emptiness. I could have done something more. I could have done something better. What if will be in the forefront or the recess of your mind as it relates to your children? And then Solomon says, it's God who keeps us safe. So he goes from building to safety and he says, God is the definitive defender. I love that. God is the definitive defender. You can do everything you can to keep watch over your kids. You can try to keep surveillance over them 24 hours, 7 days a week, but you really can't. So ultimately, you have to say, listen, someone else has to protect them when I can't. So Solomon says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Like so many teenage parents, Kelly has on her phone an app that will kind of watch our kids' movement wherever they go. Well, watches the phone movements wherever they go. They've learned how to manipulate that. Leave the phone at home, go travel and do something else. We were at that place the whole time. Were you really? I don't know. I just know where your phone has been. And so if it's late at night and there's a curfew that they've got to get home to, and it's kind of like, you know, moments away before we know they need to drive home and we know how long the drive should be, she'll get on that app and she'll look, where are they right now? Where are they on their drive? Like, we know where they're at, but we have no clue what they're doing. You want to know why? Because no parent is going to have perfect protection for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I remember the first day of kindergarten for our firstborn. Teary-eyed Kelly Merrill dropping off her kid. Me going, I don't know what the big deal is. I have no clue what the big deal is. And she's handing him over to a very trustworthy teacher whom we absolutely dearly love. And we have full confidence in this teacher, full confidence in the principal, full confidence in the school system. And we're handing this child off. And she's filled with tears. And then she goes back to the car and she maneuvers her car to get a good view of the field where recess is at. And she joins all the mothers who have kids who have been dropped off for kindergarten for waiting for their kid to run out for recess just to say, are you protected? Are you okay? Is everything going all right? No helicopter parenting there. Believe me, nothing there, right? And parents, we know. We know without a shadow of a doubt that we can't protect our kids all the time in every single moment. This growing idea that we can is just not reality. And this growing idea that we can protect them and set them up and raise them so that they'll be ready for anything that can harm them is just not true either. And so Solomon says, unless God is the definitive defender, then your raising of your kids, your setting of your home, your building of your city is all in vain. And then he says, God is the definitive provider of rest and blessing. Do you catch what he's saying? God is the definitive builder. God is the definitive protector. God is the definitive provider of rest and blessing. He says, you can work your fingers to the bone, right? You can labor, you can toil for food. You can work your back until your spine is nearly broken to provide a better life for your kids. I'm like, what parent doesn't want to provide a better life for their children? Like, I want my kids to have greater success, greater potential than I ever had in life. I want them set up to do better and bigger things than I ever could do in life. But Solomon says, in vain, you rise early, you stay up late. Why? For toil, for food to eat. As a parent, you want to position your kids so they can start out of the gate right, so they can leave the home with as much strength and momentum as possible as you release them. But every parent has that feeling like, you remember, like some of you have adult children, do you remember that feeling of like, I don't know if they're ready? Maybe right now you got a kid in high school, you're like, I don't know if they're ready. My oldest is going to become a senior. He's going to become, now, 1,000 opportunities. A kid can do anything, but he's got to do something because he can't do everything. He's got to do one thing. And now what is that one thing? I don't know. Does he know? He has no clue what he wants. But guess what? He's got 365 days to decide. He's got 365 days to decide how the next 50 years of his life is going to go. Little unfair? Yes. Doing it with half a brain? Absolutely. So Solomon counsels us. Listen, parents, listen. He's counseling us like that feeling, that intuition that every parent has. My kid's not ready for this. He can't even make macaroni and cheese. He's not ready to go. Someone's like, I get it. I get it. But there is a definitive defender. There is a definitive builder. There is a definitive provider. And parents, we can't provide for our kids all the time. We can't defend our kids all the time. We can't build something up for our kids all the time. Here's what I want to do. I just want to focus on the first two verses of Psalm 127 and get a handle on that, because if we get a handle on that, we can get a handle on all this. Hey, we're shooting arrows, we're aiming them at God kind of stuff, right? Because it's so much easier to say, here's the 7 ways that you can release your kids. Baloney. Not my kids. They're different. Your kids are different. My kids are different. All of our kids have a different way. There's no ingredient, right? There's no special. It's not like building a cake. This is not like building a cake. Like, we're not just going to follow a set of ingredients and we're all going to get the same kind of perfect kids. That's not the way this works out. And so because it's not the way it works out, Solomon says, this is not about your kids. This is about us putting our kids in a position, in a place, in an atmosphere, in an environment. I want to focus on those first couple of verses because what Solomon really does is he emphasizes something. Here's a couple things he emphasizes. He says, parenting is about being God's builders and God's ambassadors in the life of our children. You're saying, I didn't see where he said that. I didn't see where he said it's about being God's builders and God's ambassadors in the lives of the children, but that's absolutely what he's saying. He's talking about homes, he's talking about cities, and he's talking about provision. He's saying there is this kind of metropolis that God is in charge of. This territory, this reign, this kingdom that God is in charge of. And you can think that you're in charge, and you can think that you're in control, and you can think that you're the security, that you're the provider, that you're the builder, but ultimately God is. And so if you really want to know what Psalm 127 is about, parents, it's about sovereignty. It's about that God is in control, that God is in the arena to say, this is my arena, and that the home that we are building is not our foundational place. It's not our beacon of escape. It's not our castle. It's God's territory. Huh? What? It's God's territory. That our homes are actually the providence of God's kingdom. So let me state it to you like this. A godless foundation will fail. I mean, that's how the psalmist starts this off. Unless the Lord builds, unless the Lord protects. Psalm 127 sounds a lot like what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Remember the teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has this very practical, powerful, new teaching. And in Matthew 7, he tells us how to implement it. And then he tells us what it looks like when we do and when we don't. And he says, there is a foolish builder who doesn't do anything with Jesus' words, doesn't do anything with Jesus' teaching, and builds their house on the sand, the world's philosophies, the world's ideas, and the world's ideals and morals. And when trouble comes, when drama comes, when trouble comes, it beats up that house, and what happens ultimately, not because of what's built on it, but because of the foundation below it, because the foundation's no good, the house will crumble. And then Jesus says, but this is what it's like for anyone who puts my words into practice, who builds their life on the foundation of God, who builds their life on the teachings of Jesus and his wisdom. When troubles come, when storms come, when drama comes, it's going to beat up that house, but because the foundation is solid, that house will be unmovable. And so Jesus tells a story about two homes, two builders, and one storm. And Jesus points out that it's not what's built on top, it's what's built below that matters. It's the foundation, it's the territory on which it is built. And Solomon is challenging our territory. He's challenging our foundation, parents. And he's saying, what have you been building? How have you been building? And what have you been building on? And did you think that you were in charge of all that building? Because listen, if we decide to not build our house on the principles and the foundation of God's word, on Jesus' teaching, it is in vain, like Solomon keeps saying, unless, then it's in vain. Because the foundation of Jesus is the only foundation for any home. I mean, where else are you going to find morals that are clear-cut, black and white, than the foundations found in Jesus and God's word? Nowhere else. Everywhere else has a sliding scale of morality. How about as for you and your house, Jesus is the foundation, and he is the spiritual guidance of our home. How about for your home, you say, like Solomon says, I will build this with God in mind as the foundation, because Jesus and his God's word, if it becomes the foundation, I figure out how to model marriage. I figure out how to model the relationship between me and my kids. I figure out how to model this relationship between me and my aging parents. I figure out how to model these relationships that sometimes can be so dramatic and over the top and troublesome in some of these families, but the Bible gives us how we can model better relationships with forgiveness and grace and mercy when that becomes the foundation of your home. Jesus is the foundation of your strength and support in your home. When he becomes the foundation of your family, you'll figure out how to seek personal relationships with God. And when you do so, you'll find comfort and you'll find rest and you'll find guidance in these challenging, troubling times. You'll be able to hold on to his promises that never fail and never erode away. When Jesus is the foundation of your home, you'll find true wisdom, not just some kind of wisdom that's here today and gone tomorrow. That's not wisdom at all. Wisdom that is permanent and will set you and your family and your kids up for success. Wisdom about how to love one another. Wisdom about parenting and marriage and finances and relationships. His teaching can provide so many practical decision-making ways when you just make him the foundation of your home. Or you can build your house in vain. So parenting is about building on the foundation of God. And it's about also being ambassadors. So parenting is about being God's builders and ambassadors in the lives of our children. You're saying, well, I don't understand the ambassador part. Well, we're talking about sovereignty, so it just makes sense. Because we're not the king of our castle. Oh, you're like, well, wait a minute, I thought I was the king of the castle. No, you're not the king of the castle. An ambassador is someone who represents, like a government, represents the government's power, represents the government's mandates. Generally speaking, an ambassador is a respected official of a higher official. Make sense? The ambassador is a respected official of a higher official. You are, parents, a respected official. Honor your mother and father as a ambassador of a higher official, the King of Kings. And this isn't your territory. No, your home is kind of this little parcel of land, this little piece or property that is God's territory. It is God's sovereign domain now. It's the kingdom of God's, and you are now living in the kingdom of God's territory. He's building the house. He's bringing the protection. He's bringing the provision. You're just citizens living there, and as ambassadors, you are just being the example of who the King of Kings is to these little citizens we call children. You're like, huh? This is crazy. No, this all makes sense now. This is why Joshua says, for me and my house, this little parcel, this little place, this little four walls and a home, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what the rest of the world is doing. This is sovereign territory of God. I'm not in charge. She's not in charge. You're not in charge. God is in charge, and I'm just going to exemplify and be an ambassador of God. Just like the New Testament fulfills of us as Christians in this world, like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're Christ's ambassadors. We're not the message, we're just the messengers. We're not the power, but we've received the power to demonstrate power on behalf of God. We're not the love, we just share the love of God around us. We're not the ones who are inviting people, or we're not the ones who bring the salvation. We're just inviting people to salvation. Why? Because we're just ambassadors. We can't provide the authority. We can't provide the salvation. We can't provide that stuff. We're just receiving that stuff to give that stuff away because the King of Kings has demonstrated how to do it. And some of us know this old adage that says, a man's home is his castle. I like the adage that says, a man's home is his castle until the queen arrives, which is probably true for a lot of us. But your home, if it's built on the foundation of God, is not your castle. It's God's kingdom. It's his territory. It's his castle. And we're all under his sovereignty. So men, listen, Solomon is telling us that we aren't the kings of the castle. We're just ambassadors of the king who happens to be in his castle, representing God's kingdom and his sovereignty. And fathers, listen, it's our job to represent God's truth and represent God's authority as best we can in perfection, God's power as best we can in perfection, and God's provisions the best we can, and his love. And we aren't the ultimate authority. No, no, no. God is. We don't have the ultimate power. God is. We're not the ultimate provider. God is. We're not the ultimate protector. God is. We're not the ultimate builder. God is. We just represent the one who is, because we're living on his territory, his domain, because it's his foundation that we're living on. And moms, listen, women, you aren't the queen or princess of your castle. You're just an ambassador who represents God's kingdom in God's little sovereign territory that you call home. And mothers, you represent God's grace and God's dignity and God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. You represent God to your kids in that territory that you call home and to whom you call family. And all of us, we're just trying to build this place. No, no, we're letting God build this place, built on the foundation of God's word, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and his teachings. And now it's God's domain. We're kind of like just citizens living in God's little castle. That which is out of your control is under God's control. This is sovereignty. There's so many things that are out of control, parents, that it's just out of our control, that we can get worried about. Do we have enough provisions? Are they ready? Are we securing them? Are we helping their life? You can worry yourself to death. You just gotta know that it's out of your control and it's under God's control. So you can work at making the best home possible for your kids. You can try making this home where all their friends want to come to, so that you can be the place to kind of watch over your kids, love on those kids, bring those kids into a great environment. But ultimately, it is God who says, you get me involved and you build on my foundations, and then you can raise your kids in that place. You can try to protect your kids all day long, but ultimately as a parent, you're going to have to trust God's authority and trust his power to bring protection to your kids. You can try with all your might to provide for your kids, but ultimately, parents, you're going to have to submit to God's authority and to his power and recognize that he's the one that truly provides both physically and spiritually. And friends, because God is sovereign, because God is in control, because God is in control in the areas where I have no control, because God is all powerful, because he is the King of Kings, not just in this castle, but in all the cosmos, because God is the ultimate authority, because God is on the throne, and because he is all those things and more, Solomon says this great line of transition to the next part. He says, "For he grants sleep to those he loves." Now, parents, is this making any sense? Because God is in all the areas that I am not, we can sleep well knowing that we've put our kids in a foundation built on the solid rock of Jesus. That we've become good ambassadors demonstrating who the King of Kings is and his authority, power, love, and grace, and all those great things about God. And now I can rest knowing that in out of my control areas, when my kids are far beyond me or out of my reach or not listening to my advice, that God is sovereign. Friends, sovereignty is the pillow on which you can rest your head on at night. Sovereignty is this sleepy feeling that you can have, though the storm rages on outside, you can say, doesn't bother me. I built this house on the foundation of God. Storm beat away. And he grants sleep to those he loves. When God is your foundation, when you accept his sovereignty, Solomon says, parents, you can rest. You can rest. I can rest knowing that God is in control. That he is the foundation of my family. Look at Psalm 127, verse 3 and 5. Now you're like, okay, well, here's the part I really like. Here's the part that I really know. Verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. I don't want to get in the depths of this, but let me just say it to you like this. Parents, children are a blessing, not a burden. God has put kids in our life, and they are a blessing, not a burden. So anytime you're like, oh man, these kids, man, they're holding me back. You may never say it, but you might think it. They're not a burden. God has designed these kids to be a blessing. And if you just start building on the foundation of God and trusting in him, and then it says in verse 4, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. It goes on to say, they will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And I just want to bring some points of application out of this last part of this psalm, knowing now what we know about the sovereignty of God and how we're to establish our homes, that this is God's kingdom and we are ambassadors of God's kingdom to these kids. I want to bring this practical point that it's not a parent's job to have godly children. It's a parent's job to make sure their children have godly parents. Now, I know immediately you're like, that doesn't sound right. No. My role is to get my kids saved. Yeah, it is, but you can't force salvation on them. You're like, yeah, but come on. No. It's our job to be godly parents to our kids because there is no guarantee that godly parents will raise godly children. No guarantee that godly parents will raise godly children. Listen, if that were the case, then Adam and Eve would have never have sinned, right? They were in the perfect environment. They had the greatest heavenly father that walked with them and they saw and talked to in the garden. Everything was perfect. You would have thought if anybody had a chance to get it right, it would have been those two, but they get it wrong. Why? Because rebellion reigns in the hearts of man. And we know that about them and we know that about our kids and we know that about us. So let me just pull some pressure off for a minute. You can do everything right, everything perfect, and still have imperfect children. And so it's not about them. This is crazy. We're talking about parenting right now, and it's not about our kids. No, it's about you. It's about you. It's about all about you. So if we're sitting here saying, it's not about having godly children, it's about having parents that are godly, well, what do? I'll tell you what you do. You got to start working on getting read up. You got to start working on the blueprint for how God wants you to build your life and build your home and build your marriage and build your relationships and run your finances. You got to get caught up on that stuff because you're an ambassador now in a God's kingdom and God's domain. You're a representation of the king in your home. And I would bet to say that many of us are trying to pull this off. We want to pull this off, but we're just not heading here to get this done. You're relying on me. Like, you're like, this sermon's going to help. We do about one of these every 52 weeks. Good luck with that. So parents, how's your Bible study? How's your relationship with Jesus? How's your relationship with God's word, the foundation of what should be our homes? Because unless the Lord builds your house, the labor is in vain. And personal Bible study is so, so important because it keeps us grounded to the foundations. It keeps us grounded to the blueprint. It keeps us grounded to the map and the track that God wants us to run. Like years ago, and I'm talking years ago, I'm old enough now to say a couple decades ago, I was heading to a place to preach on Highway 36, just off of 36. There's all these little churches on Highway 36 in Illinois. And for some reason, word got out that I was an okay preacher, and they all wanted me to preach at one time. And I remember heading there at the summer back and forth, and I knew my way around that area so well. And I was like, okay, I know exactly where this next church is at, and I'll just go run up there for the evening, preach this sermon, come back home. But there was a huge storm that came, and in this little area off of 36 where I had to go, there was a pole that had come down from the wind or something, but it had knocked this power line down, and I didn't know where to go. Now listen, I say a couple decades ago, this is, you may not believe this, this is a time before GPS, at least GPS that I was able to have, right? So this is a time when you had maps. Remember paper maps? You never knew how to quite fold them up, right? But you had maps and then Thomas guides. Anybody remember Thomas guides? Even better. You'd find the grids on the paper. And I didn't even have those in my car because I'm like, I know how to get there. But I didn't know how to get there when the road was cut off by a power line that was down. And so I decided, okay, I don't know how to get there, but listen, I know the roads in Illinois are like east, west, north, and south. There's nothing funny there. And I can figure this out. And so I decided, okay, I'll just start heading this direction. Then I still don't know where I'm going. I thought, you know what? There were some cars that did a U-turn with me on that road. I will follow them because they have Illinois plates. They probably know this area better than I know this area. Only problem was, I don't know where they're going, but I'm going to follow them, right? So I decided I'm going to follow these guys. And then I decided, nope, they're lost and I'm lost. And so I'll just go to what back then was a GPS. That was the gas station. And I'll ask for directions. Remember those days? We had to like drop your pride, walk in and be like, hey, everybody, I'm not from around here. I'm lost. And they all kind of look at you like, yeah, you are lost, buddy. Like, you're lost. And they would give you the directions. I remember this guy giving me directions. I'm trying to write them down. And from whatever he said to whatever I wrote down did not come together. And so I missed the big tree at the Y on the road, you know, whatever kind of thing. And so I'm lost now again. So I go to another GPS gas station and I'm like, how do I get to this place? And finally they give me the right way to get there. Problem was what? Problem was I didn't have a map and I thought I knew the way, but when something interfered, I lost my way. And when I lost my way, I started looking to others who I thought had the way. And when they lost their way and I lost their way, I went looking for advice from someone who I thought would know the way, but whom didn't know the way. Does that sound like some of your parenting? Does that sound like some of the ways in which we get counsel and advice from the world? We'll go anywhere but to the way and the truth, the life, to find the way, but we won't go to the one to find the roadmap. And friends, all I'm encouraging you to do as parents is to say, listen, no more of that stuff. I'm going to go back to the foundations. I'm going to go back to build the house with God involved. I'm going to go back to the teachings of Jesus. And listen, I'm going to get my life in order here spiritually because I want to be a godly parent and I want my kids to know how to live a godly life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't depend on your own understanding. And I think a lot of us have been parenting that way. Depending on our understanding, the world's understanding. No. He just says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So parents, there's a lot of things like we're trying to figure out. Some of you have adult children. You're trying to help them figure some things out. Quit looking to the world and start looking towards the word. This is the aim of parenting. That you're directing your kids toward God. And that's why he says, they're like arrows, okay? Like, you're just going to launch some out. But listen, once they leave the archer's bow, you don't know what winds are out there. What could take them? What could interrupt that arrow as it flies? And last week, my wife, Kelly, she preached up here and was like, when's she going to preach again? Is she preaching this Sunday? She was so good. Sermons are always better when she preaches. Shut up. like my ego is like getting this. It used to be this, now it's this. And yeah, and so she had this great line. Do you remember this line? She said, parenting is about perfection, not about perfection. Parenting is about direction. Do you remember that line? She just, at the very end, she just said it. And I was like, whoa, that's so good. I'm going to steal it. Parenting isn't about perfection. It's about direction. So that would say that, I'll say this, the target of parenting isn't to raise perfect kids, it's to point your kids to the perfect God. It's not about perfection, it's about direction. And I know that every kid has uniqueness. My kids are unique, your kids are unique. You can't just cookie cutter your kids and raise them the same way. It just doesn't work out like that. It's not a cake that you're making that if you just get the ingredients right, everything's gonna turn out okay. That's just not the way it is. I got a street smart kid, I got a school smart kid, I got creative kids, I got analytical kids. Every Christian parent though, it doesn't matter how your kids are set up or wired, every parent should have all the same intent, all the same goal, all the same aim. You know what that aim is? That we are aiming our kids to be fully committed followers of Christ Jesus. That's the aim of every Christian parent, to raise fully committed followers of Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that they will be, but that's the aim and that's the target. And there is only one target. The bullseye with your kids is that they know Jesus. And friends, if we don't hit that bullseye, if we don't hit that aim, or at least attempt to and direct them that way. Like it's out of our control at one point, but if we don't aim our kids in that direction, then our parenting is in vain. It should be the aim of every parent for their child to lead them to, for you to lead your child to Jesus so that they will do this. Here's how Jesus sets it up. Seek the kingdom above all else. I want my kids to seek the kingdom above all else, to create more parcels of territory for God's kingdom, more sovereign places where God can reign and be in charge and where they can be ambassadors. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. I'd love to hear one day that my kids, they're living righteously. They're living for God. They're living like God, and he will give everything you need. So parents, you need to figure out right now, what's their trajectory right now? Maybe they're still in your home and you can control that trajectory. You haven't released them really yet, but what's your aim then? If you're aiming them at sports or education, are you aiming them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Now listen, sports, hobbies, aiming them towards success or education, that's good, but you need to have the primary bullseye to be Jesus. Those need to be the outer rings. So what is your aim? What is your trajectory? And do you need to reset a new direction for them, a new aim? Because if it's not Jesus and having a relationship with him to seek him and seek his kingdom and live righteously, then we've missed our mark. And I know there's some right now, you're like, dude, this sermon is a moot point to me. I ain't ever having kids. Because if you've read the statistics lately, some of these are like really disheartening in the United States. It's a lot of couples are saying now, we're just not gonna have kids. We're just not gonna do it. And their reasonings, I mean, they go the gamut of reasonings. But reason number one typically is, this is a dangerous place, a hard world to live in. I don't want to put my kids in this hard, dangerous world. You know what Solomon do? Solomon would reverse that and change that all around. And he'd say, yeah, you know what? You're saying that you won't put kids in this messed up world. Solomon would say, now because this world is so messed up, I'm going to build on the foundation of God. I'm going to treat my home like the sovereignty kingdom of God. And I'm going to shoot some arrows out of this world, so that they'll do some amazing difference maker kind of things. So that as they're shot out, they'll be light into the darkness. And I'm not gonna teach my kids to fear the world, I'm gonna teach the world to fear my kids. Because they're gonna do some incredible things for the kingdom of God. Just imagine if Jochebed, who we studied last week, thought, oh, this world's so messed up. You know, I don't want my kids to enter into this world, because immediately if they enter in this world, they're gonna be raised Egyptians and that's gonna be awful. They're not gonna be raised to love the Lord our God. No, Jochebed says, we're having kids and we're gonna trust in the sovereignty of God. And when that kid comes to us, and whatever time it is, they didn't know it was gonna be 3 months, but whenever we had to direct that arrow and aim it, we're gonna aim it right towards God the best we can. And Moses comes into this world, and the world is blessed by him because Jochebed and her husband said, listen, I know this world is messed up, but this world can be better because we're going to bring some kids into this world and we're going to teach these kids about the sovereignty of God. We're going to teach them about the power of God and we're going to direct them to be difference makers in this world. Isn't that what Jesus was? Isn't that what God did? This world is so messed up. This world is so ruined and default by sin and ruined by sin and crashing into by sin. There needs to be redemption demand. Instead of saying, this world's so messed up, I'm going to abandon it, God says, because the world is so messed up and I absolutely love it, I'm going to send Jesus to redeem it. And he shot Jesus, that arrow, into this world. And who did he put in the hands to care for Jesus? A teenage mother who didn't know nothing about motherhood. And the redemption of the world is in her hands in the name of Jesus. And this world was sick with sin. God sent Jesus as that arrow to the cross to die for our sins that we might have life. And parents, it's our responsibility to see these children as a blessing from God and to position them and angle them right towards God, raising them up in the sovereignty of God. And parents, you can't aim your children in a direction that you're not facing. And so it's our job to face God, to be the foundation of our home and our life, and to build our lives upon him. God has entrusted four boys to Kelly and I's care. Sometimes it's called a curse. God calls it reward. I know how we all look at that sometimes. Burden or blessing. Depends on the day. But God has put these kids in our home. He's positioned them in our care. And I'm going to do everything I can to establish my home on the word of God. I'm going to do everything I can to be a good ambassador to him. And we are not perfect parents, but we serve a perfect God. And I need grace every day as I make some steps that falter as a father. And Kelly makes some stumbles as a mother. We need grace every day. But we go back to his word and we say, God, you are in charge. You're in charge of me. You're in charge of this home. As for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. And one day when my kids, when it comes, when we have to draw back the arrow and shoot them out, I pray, Father, that these kids become arrows for you. And the world fears them because of the difference that they'll make in the life of others as they become ambassadors for you. Listen, I'm talking to some of your parents. When they're out of our control, you gotta trust that God is in control. Will you pray with me? Lord, we wanna be good parents, better parents. I don't know. I know perfection's out of the question. And so I pray that you help me to aim and direct and get the right positioning for my kids, and that it's truly you to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness. Then they can have all those other things, but that you're the bullseye. And Father, I pray for those here today that are thinking through maybe things they could have done better. But I pray that you clear all that off. And that today we just become the parents that you're calling us to be. Regardless of what was, but that we just become the parents that you're calling us to be. And it might take some time. It might take some change in us and in them. But that we just follow what our hearts are calling us to do today. We trust you. We give you praise for grace. We give you praise for direction. In Jesus' name, amen.